This is the June edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We welcome in Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, for the latest on proposed budget cuts facing public broadcasting. We'll also discuss upcoming programming highlights, some special events, some high-profile departures, and we will welcome your feedback on WPR programming and practices. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for being here. Well, we just, in our state capitol report, talked about what Joint Finance Committee did on Friday. It reduced the cut to the UW system by $50 million to a $250 million cut. As listeners are probably aware, you and I both are employees of the University of Wisconsin Extension, and Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the UW Extension and the Educational Communications Board. So obviously a budget cut talk affects us. So what will this reduced cut to the UW system mean for Wisconsin Public Broadcasting?
Well, in terms of the net dollars that may roll to WPR, not much difference, because it's our understanding that there were some costs that weren't really in the original cut announcement that will still be there. So we think that the dollar amounts will be fairly similar to what they were. And Joy, I want to add a fine point to your comment. You know, we do feel an obligation to remind our listeners that things that affect us like this as employees of the state are things that we report on. And I would remind people that from an editorial perspective, we really are independent at Wisconsin Public Radio. There's no influence made by the university other than to encourage us to do our jobs. And so as a result of that, when we have to, we report on something that affects us. And so as with everything else, we try to report that as fairly and as without bias as it is possible to report. So basically, the effect will probably be about the same. And actually, what we've been doing in planning for the cut is that we've been holding positions open, that sort of thing, so that we hope we won't be in a position of having to let someone go, that sort of thing. But in part of Wisconsin public broadcasting, there will be some people that will probably be let go because of the way that the cuts have come out. And so the example that I would give is that earlier we reported on the cut to the Educational Communications Board, the other partner in putting together Wisconsin Public Broadcasting. And first of all, we're absolutely thrilled that there was a significant restoration. And we thank the Joint Finance Committee and Senator Olson for making that happen. And what that restoration would do, assuming, as I hope we can assume, that the governor will sign the bill and so on, that will restore the funds for us to maintain the entire Wisconsin Public Broadcasting Network, public television, public radio. We also support the NOAA weather radios and the Amber Alert and the EAS, you know, the emergency alert system that we do for tornado warnings and that sort of thing. And that we support actually for not only public broadcasting, but for all broadcasters, that those signals go through our network and we maintain that. So that was preserved, and that is terrific. What we're, of course, very disappointed about was the cut that was sustained, and that was a cut that eliminated state funding for the Wisconsin Media Lab. That's our K-12 work, and so now we're trying to figure out with, there is a little bit of program revenue there, we're trying to figure out what's next for the Wisconsin Media Lab. And so a number of our colleagues have received the at-risk notices letting them know that they may not have a job in the near future. Yeah. And that's happening in lots of places within the state. It happens in private business all the time, and so we have great sympathy for the individuals involved wherever that happens to people.
Yes, definitely. And just because I know I've I work here and I've worked here for a long time, and it can still be confusing to me. The Educational Communications Board, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. is one partner of Wisconsin Public Radio. That proposed cut to public broadcasting was cut in half. It was, instead of $5 million, it was $2.5 million.
That's the, yeah. Roughly speaking, yeah.
So that was a bittersweet thing. It was a relief, yet still
that's
it's going to hurt with $2.5 million in cuts. But then the UW system cut is something we are also watching, because we receive funding from the University of Wisconsin.
That's right, and it helps to fund certain salaries here and that sort of thing, and so. Of course, a big concern as well. And, we're certainly hopeful that we can raise sufficient funds through corporate support and individual support and major giving and so on to really lessen the blow. But it's very real.
Yeah. But we are not sending out layoff notices to people who are on the air or working behind the scenes at Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's correct.
And we are not, we don't have a list of programs that we buy that are going to be not bought.
No, and I think, and those are natural questions, but knock on the wood of my head here. It is our hope that our, I think, educated estimates of what cuts will come down to WPR and to WPT will be that in that sense. And this actually fits. We've had budget cuts before, Joy. You remember them.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
In fact, round about 2003, there was a similarly sized cut to the state budget for the university. And so we're still here, and that's really wonderful. And what I'd say is that in looking back at some of the records from that time and in thinking of how things go here, our goal is always to absolutely minimize the effects of any kind of budget cuts on our listeners, because we're all about service, and so we try to do our best to do that.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he joins us once a month, usually the first Monday of each month, to share news with you about this service. And he welcomes any questions you have about public broadcasting, about public radio, about our programming, our operations, our practices. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We had a complaint from a listener that we logged in our listener log that went like this. There is far too much talk on this station, too much begging, too much advertising. Does this listener have to fear for more so-called begging and advertising after this, after budget cuts go into effect, Mike?
I don't really expect any significant change because we're already, I think, very forthright in seeking listener support and business support to make possible WPR. And, you always are looking for ways to, if anything, make the pledge drives shorter, more efficient, that sort of thing. In fact, speaking to that, one of the things that has been a really remarkable and exciting change for us has been how many people are converting to sustaining memberships, the monthly giving. And we'll continue that effort. And part of what that does is it helps us to know that there's a reliable base of support and maybe not have to kind of hustle for the next dollar quite so much. And so while I don't think it necessarily shortens a pledge drive because you still have to find new members, it probably does mean that we're less pushed to lengthen a pledge drive as a result of knowing that base of support is there. And that's good.
And we have had our last on-air fundraising or membership drive of this fiscal year.
Right, because our fiscal year ends June 30th along with the state. And then I think it'll be, October will be the next pledge drive. And meanwhile, we'll be busy asking people for support in the usual ways that happen off air, mailings, that sort of thing.
Let's talk a little bit about Terry Bell, who was the host of Wisconsin Public Radio's Morning Edition, And was the newscaster heard on the Joy Cardine show as well? Terry
right.
Bell has left after many years onto a new opportunity.
Yeah, you know, I heard a story that was passed on to me. Terry said that he really had never wanted to do the morning shift, and he found himself 16 years later doing it. And Joy, all of you that do the morning shift are a special breed, I think, because you're awakening at 2 in the morning
right.
or whatever it is, and being here for us as listeners as we're awakening many hours later, and we value that. So Terry has decided to pursue more of the teaching that he'd already been doing. He says that he'll turn up on radio here and there, so we'll see what that means. But that would be neat, and so we wish him all the best.
Yeah. A listener had commented, "My wife and I have woken up to Terry Bell's voice for years. We will miss that. Best of luck to him." And I guess only half-kiddingly, Mike told Terry that maybe we'd give him a call because I know he's a big follower of sports and movies and popular mm-hmm. culture. Maybe we'll have him be a commentator on those issues
maybe
in the future.
Maybe that's where he'll appear. That's
yeah.
great.
And what about Michael Leland, our news director? He's with us for one more month?
That's about right. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's his last day is approaching very fast. And in fact, we've heard him on Morning Edition a bunch since Terry left us, as well as Assistant News Director Noah Ovshinsky. And Mike is going to Iowa Public Radio. And I may have said this last month, but I've already told him that as the Iowa caucuses come around, that we really will be counting on the opportunity to partner with mm-hmm. Iowa Public Radio for covering that, because Iowa's kind of in our circle. You know, you may remember that there was a live broadcast of Kathleen Dunn's show from Dubuque one time.
Yes.
And who knows what we'll do this year other than we know we will cover elections forthrightly and actively. I let Mike know we wouldn't let him go too far from us in that sense.
Those two positions, I take it, are not two positions that will be left open.
No, that's correct. They're already out there seeking applications. And in fact, you know, if people are interested in jobs at WPR, they're always posted on our website, WPR.org. You have to navigate through the About WPR section to find the career opportunities, and they are there. And so you can see the position descriptions for those kind of jobs.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the latest news regarding Wisconsin Public Radio, affecting Wisconsin Public Radio, and you. We welcome your questions about WPR programs, or things you hear or don't hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the June edition of Mondays with Mike, when Mike joins us to answer your questions and to respond to your feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio. Do you have a question about our programming or our operations? Is there anything you'd like to hear more of or less of on Wisconsin Public Radio? 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We have open lines, which is different for Mondays with Mike. So there is room for you and certainly time for you if you call us now. Mike, let's talk about 30 years of What Do You Know? What Do You Know is celebrating its 30th anniversary and a big party coming up.
Yeah, we're going to party on the other terrace of Madison, Monona Terrace, which is just a lovely spot in the summer especially. And we'll have brats and things like that after the show. So we invite everyone June 13th to come to the live broadcast. That'll take place in Monona Terrace, and then we'll head upstairs for our party. And I think Michael will have a few things to say, and you can meet the musicians and all of that. I think it's going to to be a lot of fun. And I have to laugh. Maybe people have heard the promo about how Michael talks about how it's 30 years of not much.
Yeah.
Because he's often tied, like the website is notmuch.com and so on. And I really get a kick out of that.
You know, I guess let's talk a little bit, Mike, about what do you know? I mean, 30 years, that's a long time. And that really was, when it started, public radio really hadn't heard a program like that before.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, in fact, it was part of just a flowering of public radio that resulted in today's Ideas Network around the same time and to the best of our knowledge and just so many things. And it's still going strong. And, you know, one of the things I love about What Do You Know is the interviews. Michael's actually a wonderful interviewer. And it's just another part of the show. We think of the quiz and we think of the town of the week and so on. But the interviews are also really great. And so I think it's a fun and often really informative hour. Except when it's not, you know, when it's just crazy. You know?
Yeah, it's fun and you laugh and yeah, there's just some goofy moments. But I think that it is, you do have interviews and there is culture of, shared on that particular program. And it also is, I think it acknowledges that public radio listeners are not looking always for the most serious subjects in the world, that there is room to laugh, and a sense of humor is important, too.
I think that's right. And in fact, the weekend shows, Car Talk and What Do You Know, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Dr. Zorba, those have been really kind of gateway programs for people that have maybe discovered public radio because someone said, oh, you have to hear this. And they were talking about Michael Feldman, or whatever, and then they listen to that, and suddenly they're listening to Morning Edition or Joy Cardine, and becoming fans and becoming members, and it's just a really nice transformation that occurs, because we can laugh, and we do, especially on the weekend on public radio.
So again, the party for the 30th anniversary of What Do You Know coming up on June 13th at Monona Terrace in Madison. More information on our website at WPR.org. Some other special programming coming up. For example, Big River Radio Wave. In fact, I think when I was away last week on my vacation, I was in Alma where they were taping an edition of Big River Radio Wave.
So you may have driven right by it as you were getting busy being home. Yes, it's a regular show that they do in Alma, and then it appears here in the summer sometime, including a July 4th special that's what they were recording when you probably were driving by. So on July 4th at 7 p.m., we will have that. It's from the Big River Theater there in Alma. And Mary Mack, who's a regular, will be there, and a number of the other regulars, Kenny Solway, and musical guests Mudcat and the Bottom Feeders.
I'm sorry I missed that. I had a really wonderful time on the Great River Road on my vacation. I saw a lot of sights, and it was delightful, and I learned a lot. Also, a Capital Steps Independence Day special?
Yes, they call it Politics Takes a Holiday, and they do a quarterly special, or actually it might only be twice a year now, but just the fun parody songs. They pick out everything from a song from the rock and roll era to a musical to who knows what, and then they make political fun of it, and that's July 3rd at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Anything else in terms of special programming coming up or events?
There is. Mondays at 6 p.m. in June and July, we're going to have a selection of programs from the ReSound, or ReSound, I like to say it that way too, which is selected specials from the Third Coast International Audio Festival. This takes place every year in Chicago and really highlights some of the remarkable creativity of audio. You can tell incredible stories with sound, and you'll hear that on ReSound Mondays at 6 in June and July.
1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you would like to ask a question or share some feedback with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Dave in Elroy is with us. Hello, Dave.
Hi.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think that's required for me to say that. I listen to public radio a lot, and I really enjoy the political discourse on public radio. It's about the only stuff you can trust nowadays in the era that we're in. That's also my suggestion, and that is that I would like to see more academicians and people who look at this from a nonpartisan perspective, because when you get political people who are actually politicians on there, what they're going to say is so predictable that those interviews aren't nearly as interesting as when we get somebody else who's analyzing it and reflecting on it. But you guys are doing a good job, don't take me wrong. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying fewer politicians and more academics?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Reaction, Mike?
Well, I think we'll probably continue to do both, but I agree with you, Dave, that you'll find a really good analysis here. I think some of the favorite times of year for me in that are when we've come out with a new version of the Wisconsin survey that we do with St. Norbert's, because that does give us an opportunity, first of all, to take the temperature of the state, and then to talk with academicians and others that can help us to understand what we're hearing in those polls. And side note, I'm an English major, and it always strikes me now that we use the word academician. We would have said 30 years ago at the beginning of what do you know, we probably would have said academics, but not academicians. And there's something changed. I don't know if it's from the real politic of world discussions that we ended up with that, but
No, that's interesting. That's interesting. I put it into layman's terms, so I guess I said, yeah. Well, it. Thanks very much, Dave, for the call. Let's go to Victor in West Allis next. Hello, Victor.
Good morning. Hi.
Good morning.
Thank you for answering my call. I like to hear a lot of more old time radio, except on Sunday nights. Now, the reason why I was listening last night, and the Whiz Kids, 1948. I consider myself pretty intelligent, but these kids made me really sound stupid. You have a chance to listen to that one last night?
Oh, I didn't catch that one. We were out with friends, but sounds like that was a lot of fun. And isn't it amazing, you know, that kids can show us up even when they're coming from the past? That's fun.
So the Whiz Kids program from 1948. Wow. But so he wants more old time, but we have old time on Sunday nights and Saturday nights, right?
Yeah,
now.
It depends on the station.
Yeah,
some stations
true.
It's only on one night a week.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, throughout the Ideas Network, you can find that. And it's amazing, isn't it? You know, most of these shows were produced a very long time ago.
Talk about repeats.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and I think about this when we talk about the fact that we now are broadcasting the best of Car Talk, because those are not produced fresh anymore. I mean, they are using some tape they hadn't used before, but they aren't making new programs as such. And so the question, well, it's not brand new content. Well, yeah, but people love it. And I think that's true whether it's the Whiz Kids or Fibber McGee and Molly or The Shadow or whatever it is. A lot of people really do enjoy listening to reruns, and so we have a few.
Thank you, Victor.
Thanks.
Speaking of reruns, it gives me a chance to forward promote tomorrow at this time. It's On Your Money. Financial planner Kevin McKinley will be here with information and advice on personal finances. Last week when I was off, guest host John Munson was scheduled to be talking with Kevin McKinley, but Kevin came down with a sudden illness and was unable to be with him, and we played a repeat of an emergency broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people had not heard it the first time around.
Yeah.
So, you know, people were emailing and calling and participating in the show. And those who maybe had heard it before sometimes will also get, maybe they missed a particular mm-hmm. tip or point. You know, so it gives people another opportunity once in a while to do a repeat.
Well, you know, it's interesting from a statistical standpoint that even the most popular hours of our station still won't be heard by most of our listeners at that time. And so it's wonderful to be able to have a resource if Kevin gets sick to mm-hmm. bring something back. And, you know, we run some programs twice, like Garden Talk, that sort of thing, because there is a turnover of listening that means it'll be fresh material for most people tuning in.
Let's talk about another project that Wisconsin Public Radio is involved in that is nearing completion. I understand that we are having a great deal of success in locating a photograph for every name that is on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall.
That's right. So this project, which is called A Face for Every Name, has been going on with us involved for a couple of years, and it actually it precedes us and will certainly follow us because we've been focused on Wisconsin. And the basic story is that there was a federal records center that was destroyed by fire, and an awful lot was lost in terms of records of military service and so on. And so for a museum that's going to be put up next to the Vietnam Memorial Wall, they have been looking for photographs that were of the people that the records were lost in that record center. And so we are at a really great milestone. We have now found all of the photographs for all of the names that are listed as coming from Wisconsin. That's 1,161. And we've actually been first focused on that, and so that's wonderful. And all done with volunteer effort, by the way, including at one point it was a kids doing it in their class, and then it was a college students working on it very recently. Just remarkable. But there is another list, and that's what we talk about is the high ground list. These are people that, from the perspective of the high ground memorial folks here in Wisconsin, were also from Wisconsin, but maybe in the official records got listed as from Minnesota or somewhere else because of how they got recruited into the war. So that's a little bit larger total, and so we'll continue looking for those photographs as well. And so we invite people to get involved. You can find information on our website.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he joins us once a month, at least once a month, with information about Wisconsin Public Radio. He answers your questions, responds to your feedback, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is Jim in Milwaukee. Hello, Jim.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, Jim.
I've listened to the show for quite a while, the morning shows, and I can't help but notice, whether intended or not, there does seem to be a left-leaning listenership, whether or not it's, you know, based on what comes out of WPR or if it's just that's the type of people it happens to hit. But, I mean, how does WPR, when you run your campaigns to raise money, I think a lot of people are turned off because they see, like, every straw poll that's done. Governor Walker, you know, lost all three of them by huge percentages, and President Obama won huge percentages. And it doesn't really reflect, I don't think, the voting people of Wisconsin. But is WPR, do they make a concerted effort to attract everyone? It just so happens it's missing out on the conservatives.
All right. And Mike, I think Jim, when he refers to the straw polls, is this show will, from time to time, and others may as well, mm-hmm. hold a straw poll on an issue or sometimes a horse race between candidates, uh-huh. if there's a race going on. And Jim remembers, and I don't have records in front of me, that says that the conservative candidate almost always loses in that, reflecting that we have a more liberal audience.
Well, a few things. First of all, I think it's important to draw the fine point on the straw poll, yeah. idea, which is that it's not scientific. It's who selects themselves to contact us. And so one of the things, and I think it comes to Jim's question, is in self-selecting, it may be that people with more passion about an issue are the ones more likely to call in that circumstance. I don't really know, because I don't know. It's not scientific, so mm-hmm. it would be hard to prove. What I would say is that there certainly is, in terms of our effort, an effort to serve all of Wisconsin, no matter what their political stripe. When we talk about where the sort of the philosophical roots of public radio are here in Wisconsin, they go right back to that idea of the sifting and winnowing that the university talks about, because we're very much a part of the tradition there, and the sifting and winnowing by which you discover the truth. And our sense is that there isn't just one side or two sides to an issue. There really, for many, many issues, there may be 3, 5, 10, hundreds, thousands of viewpoints. And so together with our listeners, what we're trying to do is to do our best to reveal the truth wherever it is. I think that it's probably fair to say that public radio listeners probably on balance are a little more to the left than the right, but where they are in that spectrum is definitely all over the place, and we try to make sure that we're serving everybody.
Yeah. And I don't know, Mike, are there any efforts underway to try to, recruit more conservative listeners?
I'm not exactly sure how you recruit a listener by virtue of their politics if what you're trying to recruit is curious, involved people of every stripe. And so that's really our focus.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jim. Next, we go to Carol in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Carol.
Well, hi there. First of all, I have to put in a plug for WisconsinPublicRadio.org and the app that you have for my iPad or my iPhone.
Good.
Either one of them, it works like a charm. And if I happen to miss something like that last book that they just did on Chapter a Day, that I had no idea that Norman Gilliland could write a book as well as read them. And that book, Down East Ledge, oh, was that ever a fun book to hear? And I'm a former sailor, as in sailing a boat, and he wrote about Bar Harbor and that beautiful part of the country and being on a sailboat and actually talking about how it was to sail a boat, what to do with the tiller and all this stuff. And it was so exciting and so fun to listen to. And if I missed it, I could go to WPR and I could listen to it in the middle of the night if I couldn't sleep, or, you know, hear it again. And then this, it was fun that my husband got involved with it. And when we'd sit down in the middle of the afternoon and listen to Chapter a Day on the archives as you have it, that is just such a wonderful thing to be able to do. And more people, I think, are, you know, being able to do that sort of thing.
Thank you, Carol. So I'm glad you love that app. So.
Yeah, that's terrific. And as Carol knows, you have to jump on it to catch the broadcasts, the archive broadcasts from Chapter a Day, because we're limited by the rights that we can secure from publishers to keeping it up there for just a little while. But you can, if you miss an episode, you can catch up right there, either on the app or on WPR.org. Thanks for the plug. That's terrific, Carol. And actually, if I might, I'd add that one of the things that's really becoming more and more true for WPR.org is it's a really great source of news coverage, because we're adding more and more of our news stories, and frequently if there's something that's come out of an Ideas Network show, you might have missed it, but there's a great little story there. We'll write that up and put that there, maybe with the audio as well. And right now, there's a really striking photograph at WPR.org because we have a story about watching out for deer in
yes.
June. And there's this great nighttime photograph of deer kind of staring at you. You should take a look.
With laser beam eyes, yeah.
Yeah, and also read the story, of course, because it's an important story in terms of our safety. And if anything, we're going to keep growing that as our resource. Allow, because just like Carol, more and more people are finding that WPR.org and the associated materials are a good resource.
Yeah, and you can listen to all of our talk shows on that are archived. So if you missed a talk show, you can mm-hmm. you can listen to it again. Mary wants to know in an email, is Old Time Radio available as a podcast? Some of these episodes are a treasure, and I think many people across the country would listen. Potential revenue source, question mark?
Probably not a revenue source. In fact, we have found it pretty challenging, and most stations have so far, to find significant revenue from podcasting. We think it's certainly a service we want to provide, and we hope that business underwriting and member support will continue to help to make that affordable over time. Old-time radio, the rights for those can be very confusing. We do seem to be able to secure rights to rebroadcast, but providing an archive is less clear. We do have a few programs that we're able to provide archives on. We actually have to follow very carefully the rules of the old Digital Millennium Copyright Act. But you can find archives of Higher Ground and Simply Folk on our website that are music archives are generally the ones that have the most rules about them, and we follow those and are then able to offer those archives in case you want to listen again or listen later.
This is the June edition of Mondays with Mike. Our WPR director, Mike Crane, joins us usually the first Monday of each month to share news with you about Wisconsin Public Radio and to answer your questions and respond to your feedback. What's on your mind today regarding Wisconsin Public Radio? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the June edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine with WPR Director Mike Crane. What questions do you have about WPR? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mike, let's talk a little bit about the award-winning staff that you have at Wisconsin
including
Public
you,
Radio.
Yes.
Yes, that's true. We did win third place for a morning talk show in Wisconsin. Very proud of that and very happy about that. News department really hauled in the hardware, too.
Yeah, we have a really strong news department, and they compete well with other broadcasters when we enter these contests, and that's exciting, including awards from the Milwaukee Press Club and from the Wisconsin Broadcasters. It's not unusual to see the Associated Press Awards have a bunch of WPR in it, and it's very gratifying because, you know, we receive the accolades of listeners every time you make a pledge and tell us that you love WPR, and that hits our heart. But what also hits our mind is when our peers tell us, good job. And so both are really important to how we feel about how we do our work.
Next, let's go to Marilyn in Cleveland, Wisconsin. Good morning, Marilyn.
Good morning. I hear when you have fundraisers that the listeners are a major part of your support, and yet I'm listening to a program and enjoying it, and suddenly it's gone. Talk of the Nation, and Ben Marins, for example. And I just wonder who decides what programs come and go.
That's a great question. And in terms of the structure of things at a typical public broadcaster, there's someone in a job, something like a director of content or program director. We call ours a director of content. And that's Mike Arnold, who sometimes is the other Monday with Mike.
Yeah. Mike number two.
And it's Mike's responsibility to determine and maybe make a recommendation to me in some of the bigger cases how our programming is going to go. And the same thing is true on a national basis. And so in the case of Talk of the Nation, for instance, that was a decision made by the folks at National Public Radio. And they had basically to deal with a very tight budget. And they made a partnership that provides middle-of-the-day programming, but it isn't Talk of the Nation, and it's actually not broadcast on Wisconsin Public Radio. Listeners in Milwaukee can hear the replacement show. It's called Here and Now, and they can hear it on WUWM. And of course, you can hear it online if you tune into stations that carry it. And so the decisions are made typically with a lot of consultation, but it depends. You know, sometimes someone, like we talked about Terry Bell today, someone lets us know they're headed on, and we have to come up with new things. Someday, probably Joy will do that.
Yeah. Someday, and, maybe yeah. Larry will do that.
Yeah, you know, and part of the challenge, Marilyn, and I feel it in just hearing your disappointment about those changes, is that the people on the radio become a part of our everyday life. They're there next to our head on the bedside. They're in the car. So they're with us. And so when something changes, it's a big deal. And actually, just in terms of the audience research behind that, we know that when there's a program change of a very popular program, even to something else that might arguably be equally good, you may see a dip in audience for quite a while because people were used to what was there.
Yeah. And to clarify, with Talk of the Nation, that was not Wisconsin Public Radio's decision. That was NPR's decision. And
that's
sometimes
right.
A national program goes out of production, and there's really nothing Wisconsin Public Radio can,
yeah, that's,
can
that's
do
right.
about that.
And we've made those decisions over time as well for various reasons. And, you know, if we didn't change, we'd still have the Homemakers program and the Farm program and so on. And I think in Larry's show, we have the sort of modern follower to those programs,
yeah.
But it's a substantially changed program from when people like Aileen Hazard were hosting it.
Yeah, and the when it comes down to it, too, the program schedule. Mike Arnold is looking at that program schedule, looking at the audience research, looking at things like audience ratings and size. Not that we are. Commercial broadcasters, but you don't want to necessarily have put a lot of time and resources into a program if no one's listening to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the figures that we try to use is a figure that is called cost per listener hour. And so what that is tries to draw a sense of the amount of public support in the form of memberships and corporate support that you get and match it to the people listening. And what you find is that if a program is expensive to produce but draws very few listeners, you have to ask, is it worth it? And maybe it is,
mm-hmm.
and because we're in public service.
Maybe
it's a
mission program.
That's
yeah.
right. But to the degree that we rely on listener support, and more and more we do, that equation is a very important part of our decision making.
And sometimes the decision is maybe it's a poorly placed program and it'll be moved to another spot on the schedule that it is believed to be, you know, more conducive to reaching listeners.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And of course, all of the programs want to be in radio prime time. So that's most typically morning and afternoon drive, but during the day is a stronger listening time for radio. Television competes very powerfully and wins for the most part in the evening. And so that might be a place where we'd pilot a new program or something like that, but we don't have as many resources going into evening and late night programming as we would to a morning show like Joy.
Let's talk a little bit about music. David on Facebook says, I'm sure you get this all the time, but it would be great to add weekday jazz programming. Jim emails, I am really disappointed that you have so drastically cut the amount of classical music played on the News and Classical Music Network. Classical music used to play early mornings with news breaks. Now it's repeated news from NPR from 6 until 9. I miss classical music during my morning milking, and so do the cows.
and that changed. With the adding of Morning Edition, which is a long time ago
20
now.
20 years ago, yeah.
Jim has been listening for a long time, which is great. Jim, you might want to see whether an HD radio works in your barn, because we do have a 24/7 classical music service on many of our stations on the HD2 channel. But you do need the special HD radio. Probably the best place to find those is online, because there aren't a lot of stores that sell them. But we are finding, speaking of audience research, that more and more people are tuning in for their classical on that HD service, because they can hear it anytime, day or night. So in the midday from 9 to 3, it's the same programs you'll hear on our analog channel. And HD1 if you're using an HD radio. And then the rest of the time, it's additional classical music that you can tune in for. As for jazz, you know, to David's question or expression of interest, Jazz has turned out to be, and this disappoints a lot of people in public radio that love jazz as much as David does, it has turned out to be a dying format. There really are only a few stations that are doing any significant amount of jazz beyond, like we do. You know, we have some very nice late night weekend jazz programming, but it has not been supported with a lot of listening on very many stations, and so
and therefore,
stations have done other things instead.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the cases where if few people are listening and supporting it, it's not going to work.
And it's the original American music. You want to have it on. And we do, but it would be more difficult for us to find support for WPR if that was our primary choice of music.
And boy, time flies when you're having fun. I said 20 years ago that that change was made with the creation of the Ideas Network and the splitting of the
network.
Almost
40, right?
Close to it.
Yeah.
Let's go next to Jean in Appleton. Hi, Jean.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I want to back up the earlier comments by the person who was complaining about too many interruptions. I feel the same way. Morning Edition on NPR has many noisy so-called musical interruptions between snippets of programs that deserve more depth. And to me, they're just noise. I can't classify them as music. And the three news broadcasts are just so repetitive, and the three news breaks are also so repetitive and interrupt the flow of talk shows like yours, Joy, and Kathleen Dunn, and I don't seem to get the satisfaction out of the programs anymore because they're so chopped up, and you can't just enjoy the listening and have it flow and consider it as it goes along because it keeps getting interrupted, and I am a long-time supporter and plan to continue to be a long-time supporter. I also write in the paper supporting WPR and asking the legislature not to cut it, and I really like WPR. It's the only thing I ever listen to. I just am disappointed at the way it's being broken up.
Thank you, Jean, for your support and for your advocacy. And what about too many interruptions, Mike?
You know, it's a constant balance, and I really appreciate Jean's and other people's remarks on that. Some of the interruptions are sort of required, meaning that stations going way back have needed the opportunity to identify themselves and thank their supporters and that sort of thing. But there's no doubt that there are more interruptions, as Gene is describing them, than there used to be. I think you probably feel it in your show, that we're trying to include many, many things. And one of the differences that we found is that, to some degree, shortening things has actually been a good thing in terms of listening. I think because unlike Gene and me, the people that have the radio on all the time, a lot of people are kind of in and out to it, and so they're not maybe noticing as many of the repetitive features there. And as an example, there was a time when, all things considered, the even longer ago National Public Radio show might devote an entire half hour to a single subject. They never, ever do that now. And I think it's because of the change in listening habits that they found most people wouldn't stick with a story for quite that long.
We have just a minute to go, Mike. I'm wondering maybe if you can give us some assurance that the quality of public radio will continue even after this state budget is passed.
It absolutely will. And in fact, I just gave a talk to the Stevens Point Rotary and was talking about where we're headed in our second century as we approach almost 100 years now of broadcasting to Wisconsin. And what I'm inspired by is the instinct that our predecessors had and that we have to use radio and now the internet to provide good service and more to count on our listeners as partners in doing that. And they do. And so I'm actually very excited for the future and knowing that I'll have people like you around to help us make a great future. And you meaning our listeners, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's wonderful.
Thank you. Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. He'll be back with us next month for another edition of Mondays with Mike.